CliffCentral.com. Very nice. It's Eminem and God's selection for the morning. He's a big fan. He says that that is the song. I Will is what it's called off the album that he's just put out now. And good stuff. I like it. I could listen to that again. Very nice. All right, Gordo. Good stuff. So, lots of things that we want to talk about today, but you tell us what you want to talk about, huh? How about you? Let me know what's on your mind.
Well, first things first, a lot of people are excited about the new Schengen visa changes they're going to benefit us as South Africans if you frequently travel to Europe. Yeah. So if you're planning some overseas travel, especially in Europe, well, you might want to listen up. So there are major changes that are coming to the popular Schengen visa. And from the 2nd of Feb this year, there are new revisions that will come into effect that were given the green light recently. So this is a good thing. One of them being that there'll be longer stays permitted to visitors. So those who frequently travel to Europe, member states, European member states rather, with a good history of returning to their country of origin within the confines of previous visas, will be eligible to receive multiple entry visas.
If you haven't tried to be a refugee and stowaway.
You've just, you know, dotted your I's and crossed
your T's. So it's like, well done for the last 5 years, other South Africans that haven't been refugeeing and just visiting for holidays. You've made our reputation better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And let's still cling on to this for as long as we can. And part of it, though, is that your country of origin must also have a good economic status.
Oh, okay. Well, that's that, guys. Cancel your tickets.
That's why I said let's cling on to it for as long as possible.
And in a lot of these cases, like I'm fortunate to have a British passport because my mum was born in Scotland. So that's handy. But I went on a holiday in June and I took one of my friends, and she's South African, and we had to go through the process of the Schengen visa application. And they want you to buy the ticket, then apply for the Schengen visa. But the way to get around it is you can do tentative ticket bookings that you can hold for a little while if you book in advance. For a while before you have to either pay or relinquish the booking. So that kind of is a workaround. But like they want you to spend, depending on where you're going and what you book, like 8,000 to 15,000 rand.
Yeah.
Before you can apply to see whether you can use that 8,000 to 15,000 rand. It's a shitty process. Like I get there's a need for it, but it's shitty.
Well, here's another benefit, though. You can now apply 6 months ahead of your trip as opposed to the previous 3. So this is at least a good thing.
Yeah.
EU member states will also be obligated to have a representative for their country in every country that requires a visa, so that citizens from smaller countries don't have to travel to a neighboring country to apply. And the minimum number of days to apply before your trip will remain at 15 calendar days, though. The only downside to this is that the fees are going up for the application. So it will now cost €80 per application, which currently stands at around 1,280 rands, but children between the ages of 0 and 6 will still be free.
So what are the improvements? A bit cheaper and you can book?
No,
you can
it's apply, actually a little more expensive.
You can apply a bit earlier.
Yeah,
and they're going to loosen their undies just a little bit about the process.
But you can stay longer.
It's amazing what gets people excited these days.
Hey, we have to cling on to any good news that we can get.
Well, I've got good news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Serious good news. A total of 15%... Sounds like it's not a lot, but 15% of the Earth's land surface, 20 million square kilometers, is now covered by protected areas. That is an area more than 3 times the size of the entire United States. And that is the biggest piece of protected Earth we've ever had in human history. Because
public lands.
Isn't that great, though? Where people can conserve wildlife, where we can let the flowers and the bushes and the trees and things
I can
grow.
Preempt the messages. Then you saying that it's brilliant that 85% of the world isn't protected. You hate protected areas because not enough. You're like, no, it's good that 15% is.
And
it's
that
not
is,
good that 85% is not. It's good that 15% is.
And more than 3 times the size of the United States.
That's like 1.5 out of every 10 acres is protected and allowed to flourish in its natural state.
Such great
that
news.
Is such a great stat.
But is that Gordon counting the ocean?
Me.
No,
because then it's a terrible stat.
No, it's not counting the ocean. It's the Earth's land surface area.
Nice.
But I do wish that we could conserve more space in the ocean because we're fishing the place dry and it's
and
horrible.
Like there are Asian countries that send trawlers all the way around Africa, park just outside the line of international waters, sneak in at night, fill the boat full of Hake or whatever, and then bugger off back again. I mean, that is a big investment in Hake. It takes a lot of diesel to get one of those things to here and back.
Yeah, so they're obviously making a lot of money, but I am worried about that.
No, totally. Like, it really does freak me out and upset me. Between the all the floating plastic and the changing water temperatures and the shoals. I mean, you wouldn't think so, but I'm actually a fish tank nerd. And I know how...
Really?
I have been my whole life. I haven't had a tank for a while because I now have such a high standard for the tank that I want, a big, like, 8-foot marine cabinet tank with external sump filters that, like, I need a forever home. You can't move those things around. And I'm done with shitty little small cichlid tanks. But this was a big thing for me. And your temperature being stable is absolutely fucking critical. Like, and you need an inverter if there's load shedding and you've got a marine tank. Freshwater tanks, because you have natural changes in temperature and mineral content in the water, like the ocean stays the same temperature in different parts of it with very little fluctuation. Yeah, so everything dies if you go up by one degree. You can survive it for maybe a few minutes.
Let's go to our favorite two people on these matters. I mean, I didn't bring this up with the intention of going there, but it has been Davos weekend, which is a big time for
Greta
and
getting checked by Russians.
Donald.
President Russian Trump.
By checks.
Greta and Donald. Two opposing views on climate change. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble.
Ding, 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 ding.
I came to Davos and told you that our house is on fire. I said I wanted you to panic.
This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism.
The fact that the USA is leaving the Paris Accord seemed to outrage and worry everyone. And it should.
We must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse.
Immediately halt all investments in fossil fuel exploration and extraction. Immediately end all fossil fuel subsidies. And immediately and completely divest from fossil fuels. We don't want these things done by 2050, 2030, or even 2021. We want this done now.
We are on the threshold of virtually unlimited reserves of energy, including from traditional fuels, LNG, clean coal, next generation nuclear power, and gas hydrate technologies. At the same time, I'm proud to report the United States is among the cleanest air and drinking water on Earth.
So, they couldn't agree on very much, these two. But I really...
Whoever remixed them has got an ear. That was fire.
It's good. You want to hear the last one?
It was literally... they made it into a battle.
They do agree on one or two things. Listen to this.
We're not telling you to offset your emissions by just paying someone else to plant trees in places like Africa, while at the same time forests like the Amazon are being slaughtered at an infinitely higher rate.
The United States will join 1 trillion trees initiative being launched here at the World Economic Forum. 1 trillion trees.
Your inaction is fueling the flames by the hour. And we are telling you to act as if you loved your children above all else.
Fire! Mic drop.
Don't say fire when an environmentalist is speaking.
If you had to choose to be sitting with one of those people for an hour, let's say you ended up
this is unfair.
At a dinner party, and you had to end up next to either Donald J. Trump or Greta Thunberg.
Purely, okay,
in
terms of whose politics I would agree with, I favor Greta, although I think everybody's on extremes, and I prefer to be closer to the middle, but based on the fact that Trump would find my jokes funny, and it would be a more fun conversation for me based on that. I mean, Greta wouldn't find me amusing at all. No, I don't think she has the amusement functionality. So it would be a more fun conversation with Donald, but I would agree more with Greta. And she said, "I came to divorce," which was very funny. Because
One of these people saying optimism, and one of these people saying pessimism. One of these people's talking about slaughter and burning. The other person is like, "We're living on unlimited reserves of fuel,
clean coal."
Yeah, and
which is like clean, itchy nutsack.
There are ways now of burning coal cleaner, which produces less carbon dioxide.
Less,
but Gord. Volcanoes make more of these emissions than burning all the coal that we could possibly
But subduction offsets volcanoes and traps like sand and coral and shells into the...
And plants absorb carbon dioxide from the air.
It's a very small amount compared to what gets put out.
So, Gareth, I've had the pleasure of actually going to Davos for this particular period.
Jesus, we've got and a Davos.
We've got a wow. Davosee.
Everyone sit up
you
straight.
You got Davos'd?
No, I didn't go and speak because they are actually intelligent people. What I'm sad about is that you give me Donald Trump, who's clearly a moron, and Greta Thunberg, who's clearly a moron, as the options from Davos. Do you know that the best, the preeminent scientists...
Hold on, I'm still reeling from the fact that you went to Davos. Everybody, we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Well, as a person who's been to Davos, I'd just like to let you guys know that actually there's so much more to Davos than just passe Greta and bloody Donald.
How do you know?
I go there for the real Davos.
Yeah. How do you know underground Davos. Been to Davos?
I've still got my fabric wristband from Davos Carl Cox 2009 on my wrist. I don't even go to Davos anymore because it's so mainstream. I go to the scientific summit in Guatemala. You don't even know about that.
Mbulela was also going to Coachella in 2003.
Until too many people started liking
overrated.
It
and Burning Man before it became mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know where Mbulele's going for the summer? He's going to the Moon Festival on the actual moon.
Yeah. No, I do winter during summer. Yeah. Summer, so last year. Yeah.
But I'm cold in summer.
Oh, but Gareth, give us some better options. Like I said, I've been to Davos for this period and I had the pleasure through a family member. Can we just listen
What were you doing there?
What pleasure did you have through a family member?
That's a little incestuous.
One of my family members is a diplomat. And anyway, I got an invite. Mm. There are preeminent scientists that talk in Davos, and we have to listen to these two morons. Come on, let's do better.
They do actually have some really amazing speakers there. I had the mispleasure of making a microsite for a brand that wanted to sponsor Davos content and was a nightmare of hell. And I was forced to go through quite a lot of the content there. And some of it is genuinely pretty interesting. It's not just Greta and Donald arguing. There's cool shit
Vessel
there.
Said I would hands down sit with Donald. Best night ever. Greta would be unbearable.
That's pretty much my point. It's like, well, I prefer Greta's politics, but Steve, Donald would be a jewel.
Steve says, Gareth, I feel you're more obsessed with climate change than anyone here. Can we have a climate change-free day?
Change, climate change.
Gord, that would be a brilliant diet for you if you only ate with people who laughed at your jokes, like Trump.
That's exactly what I do, and that's why I'm the size of a small moon.
Morning, team. I've also been to Davos.
Shit. Do you know Umbi?
But did they snowboard? Because I've done that as well.
Ooh,
in Davos.
This is from Sven. Sven says, I didn't go for the Davos summit, though. I just went for the skiing.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I've done that as well. So, sorry, Sven.
Hashtag stop politicizing Davos.
Yeah.
Davos is for the powder.
Davos is not a place. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, Davos is a state of mind. I'm still currently in Davos.
I've been to
Davos. Because Davos is in me.
That's where I've been.
I think the bigger mistake we all make is that we think, you know, when we go to Davos, we we're having a Davos experience. No. We're living a lifestyle.
We are the Davos experience.
Yeah, it's a brand. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, you're becoming insufferable, Mbulelo. Kucho says, how did Greta get to Davos? Did she fly with planes powered by fossil fuels, or did she kayak up the mountains?
To be fair, she does catamaran across the Atlantic fairly regularly to offset it. I mean,
doing that up the Alps.
No, sure. I mean, but when she can, like, that's a pretty big commitment.
We must stop making fossil fuels now. And what? Just the whole world's economy can slide down the shitter?
Well, there's a lot of money to be made by being the people that bring the more sustainable things to the forefront.
You know, there are just more of these people who are cropping up, who are trying to take this big, amazing, how incredible am I stand, and I just roll my eyes in the process. There's an actress on the series Orange is the New Black on Netflix. She's Australian originally, and she has now said that
in the world, Matt.
She is going to move from the US and she'll stop working in the US. She's going back to Australia because flying between both countries is harming our planet. So she's now saying that she's humbly bowing out of acting in Hollywood.
Who's
and she's
this?
Only going to be
Why
in
not just
Australia.
Move? Who? Hang on. I missed who.
She's stars in Orange is the New Black.
In other words, she's never going to get enough work.
But anyway. You know what? I also caught in it. Orange is the New Black is just wrapping up their season.
Yeah.
They've like wrapped up.
I can't anymore
the show.
In good
like,
conscience
oh,
live with
how
what I'm doing to the planet. So I'm going to stop right at the end.
Do you know why that's ridiculous?
Yale Stone is
because you
name.
Could just
Yale
stay
Yale
in the States and also, finish the series and go home once a year.
Very few countries do more mining than Australia in the world. So no, you're not a better person. You're going back to a country that's constantly shifting the tectonic plates. You're an idiot.
We're
whatever
just
your
going
name is.
Back to the good old adage of people in glass houses. So
idiot.
Now I want to see, will you never ever go onto a plane ever again?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to accomplish out of something like this?
So those planes are going to fly without you anyway.
Yeah, if we all, unless it's SAA, obviously, where they've shown
No, in which case they will right, fly, yeah. Not at all.
All right, I want to let Bulelo update us on some sport quickly because we otherwise won't get to that, and then it'll be another day that people complain. Oh, it's no sport, so go ahead.
That was my drum.
Yeah. Do it again.
So listen, at this stage, I think I almost don't need to say it. Thanks for that drum roll there, Gord. Professional production. That's what we are.
You deserve theme music. You've worked hard, you deserve it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Listen, at this stage, I think we all know Man United are about as useful as a live warm body to a necrophiliac. They are absolutely pathetic. They lost to Liverpool 2-0 on the weekend. And I'm saying it because we've got our resident United fan in the house.
Yeah, it's tragic. We lost to the best club in the world at home in their at their stadium when we're in fifth and they're in first. And literally no other team has beaten them this season. So like everyone else, we also lost to Liverpool. It's worse because it's United.
How the mighty have fallen. Martial missed an absolutely crucial chance at 1-0 down. And I think from there,
yes.
Ultimately Liverpool were just too big, too strong. And they've beaten the Reds. And now Man United, they're in a bind. Listen, like a couple who stayed together for the kids, they can't break up with Ollie now. They've stayed too long. I think everybody knows it now. And top four is slipping away.
What he's building is important.
What he's building is important is what they're saying. Gord, I got some questions for you.
Can't wait to find out why us losing is more important than everyone else also losing.
Do Man United need to place Rashford? And if yes, with who?
No, we've got Greenwood coming up. We've got Martial who has his moments. And we currently have bigger problems than needing another striker.
Is Edward the right man to
He should be shot, and I would like to be the one to do it.
And which is more painful, the thought of Liverpool winning the league or Man City winning the league?
Liverpool I have more respect for because they deserve their place at the table. Man City is just a random tag on somebody's economic project. They were going to buy, I think, Oldham Athletic, but they had City planning permission to build a stadium, so they chose to. City were in the third tier football, getting beaten 8-1 by Middlesbrough before they got purchased by people and made into a business. Liverpool have earned the right to be our great rivals. It hurts more, but I also feel like less vomity about the universe.
Oh. So it hurts more when Liverpool win the league?
Hurts more, but it doesn't feel like an abomination of nature.
Well, there you have it. Man United in the trash bin, as they say at the moment.
We're
by
in
their
fifth.
Standards.
Norwich are in the trash bin. We're in fifth,
Norwich.
Competing for fourth. It's not great, but you make out like we're the only team that lost to Liverpool this season when they're beating teams 6-0. Not us.
Remember, Gord,
you're also the only team to take points off them this season. It's not extra news because it's United.
There you have
it. Do you make this big of a deal every week when they thrash someone?
Bulela's getting some pushback here.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always extra news when it's United. It's like, well, we're certainly not the worst team in the league.
Yeah, well, Gord, remember, you're angry at Man United, not me, so we can move on.
Yeah, sure I am.
The MMA.
Bait the fat Turk and then tune him for being baited.
I'm sorry, I attacked your safe space there, Gord. We're going to move on to the MMA.
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you? She's spoken Davos, damn it. It's a lifestyle. Let me run to the MMA. Listen, Conor McGregor is back. He beat Cerrone in 40 seconds. The cowboy was down. Conor kicked him so hard, his head nearly flew into next week. If you haven't seen
it, go check
it out. He
broke his nose with his shoulder.
It
I actually recorded
mental.
A Bootfighter VO on that. It was probably almost certainly going to get pulled down soon when we put it up. We're finishing it up today. I did the audio yesterday, and if I say so myself, it's one of the funniest shit I've ever done.
Excellent.
Conor McGregor versus Cowboy Cerrone, but fighting about a minute.
This is cunty.
Great. Great. We'll post that. Check that out. We'll have that up as soon as it is up. You'll look out for it on the podcast. But listen, the ref had to stop it in 40 seconds. Those who didn't get me, it was all over. The crowd went berserk. Gord, tell me this. Is Conor McGregor a real fighter, or do you think he's the Ronda Rousey of the MMA with a little bit more talent?
Mate, casual fan, that's a very casual fan question. It's impossible to deny McGregor's movement, his anticipation, his reaction time, his unorthodox stance, his ability to unlock another opponent. He creates room for the shot. If that happened once or twice, you could argue he put all the chips on black and got lucky. He does it to everyone. Everyone said he was washed up after Khabib. Khabib is arguably the best fighter in the world ever. He's impossible to beat. No one ever has. That's the only MMA fight he's lost, I think, after a 5 or 6 win streak in which he won 2 championships in 2 divisions. I'm not even a Conor McGregor fanboy. It's just, like Joe Rogan will tell you, it is impossible to deny the Irk is very special. Not the best of all time, but fucking special, unless you don't know what actually you're looking at.
Oh, after that, I need to take a break.
I love these moments. Gareth and I, we just...
Cowboy's my favorite fighter of all time.
Excellent. Well,
no, I'm not even talking about what you said. You made perfect sense. It was just, Jesus, it felt like it was interminable.
The fire of passion, like Greta. I'm inspired by Greta.
Everybody, stop what you're doing and let's all stretch.
I was asked a question and I answered it quite thoroughly and insightfully.
You're in such
a
sing-songy mood this morning. And
sing-songy indeed. Gary, before I let you off the hook, I've got one more question for my guy Gord. Dana White, what do you think of him? Is he a genius for what he's done for MMA?
Yes, look what he's done for MMA. It was nothing, and now it's one of the biggest sports in the world, and he's driven that from the beginning, although with a participation from the Fertitta brothers, they left him to run it. He built that.
The Who brothers?
Did Bill Gates really affect computers? Yeah.
Fertitta brothers.
Well, there you have it. Dana White, absolute business genius in my mind. Took it. It was about $100 million loan that I think he got up front, and he sold it to Fox for over $4 billion.
Well, the Fertittas funded it, and they gave him a percentage of ownership over it to run it, and then he was able to get that percentage out when they sold it for $3 billion.
Well, yeah, that's my guy. Dana White, that's the sport for today.
He's doing the same thing with Zuffa Boxing. It's a bit delayed, but he wants
what
to take
boxing?
The company that funded him. Called Zuffa, but just quickly though, because boxing's so corrupt and it's so full of shit and there's so many belts and it's so fractious and they never let the best guys in one organization face the best guy in another organization. He's trying to democratize is not the word, but the UFC works on ranking, and the highest ranked guy typically gets to fight the champion, and they want to do that.
But that
with
makes
boxing.
Sense because boxing,
different weight divisions, one title in each weight division, you go fight there if you want to prove you're the best. Same format as UFC, basically, so just boxing.
Rationalize it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Well, we've got a guest popping in a little bit. We're going to speak to Hayley Chamberlain, who's a YouTuber. It's one of the few people who actually can make enough money out of YouTube, and she now has a channel with over 2 million views every single month. So she is someone you could take some advice from if you want to start your own YouTube channel. We're going to speak to her in a minute. There are a few messages I want to get to quickly. Wait, am I listening to your Monday show? Because all Mbulelo is talking about is weekend stuff.
Well, we saved it. We saved United and MMA for Gord.
Very nice.
I appreciate that.
So, Mbulelo, lots of criticism for you this morning.
Let's hear it.
Mbulelo just hates Man United.
Well, this is a true fact. We know this. A lot of people do. Fair enough.
So, listen, Gareth, they're the greatest team in England. I don't lower the standard. I don't grade on a curve. If you're the greatest team, I'm going to judge you by the highest standards. I saw Roy Keane live dominating the league for 10 years. So don't tell me now you want to be judged by lower
standards. Shut up, Mbulelo. According to Hoffman, he says, what Ole is building there is important. Be patient like everyone was with Klopp for 3 years.
Habba labba labba. Habba labba.
Is that what you do now?
I speak in tongues when I hear the truth, bro. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of Man United.
Amen.
Matthew says the Reds are referred to Liverpool, by the way. Red Devils is Man United.
Yes.
Arguable.
Get it right. It's lots of people. Lots of people saying that you've
get
all...
Get it right.
You're just all full of shit. You and Gord, both of you, for separate and different reasons.
Excellent.
Wow. That's very
particular. Well, I'm with you, bro. We can be full of shit together like bros.
All right, those are the messages. Let's speak to Hayley. I'm interested in this because there are very few people who managed to get it right to actually make a living out of YouTube. So first of all, congrats on all your success so far. You're the number one top tech YouTuber in South Africa. You're ranked in the top 30 YouTube channels in the country. You have more than 350,000 subscribers. In total, you've got more than 30 million views.
Yeah, yeah.
You joined YouTube. Now, bask in the glory, baby.
Shane, you
joined YouTube back in 2013. You're now a full-time YouTuber.
Yeah.
Your content is mostly on tech reviews and user experiences, which is an awesome line of business because you're not just talking nonsense.
Yes, which I like is to really, think so.
Yes, no, this is good. And you've been awarded the Silver Play Button Award from YouTube. You received that when your channel reached 100,000 subscribers, and obviously you're way higher than that now. So what's the next button? They give you gold.
At 1 million subscribers.
Wow.
Which is a big one that I'm obviously going for.
How many have you got?
350,000.
Yeah. Did you literally just say that? Okay. Yes. I have a tiny brain. I'm dumb.
It's just all numbers.
Hayley, I meet people all the time who say, I really want to be in television or in radio. I want to be on YouTube and I want to be a massive success. And I say to them, don't, because there are enough people who are, and only a few people actually get it right and end up being commercially viable in terms of this. Now, you have done this. How did you do it? If you look back on it, is it something that's very particular to you? Was it good timing? Did you have a whole strategy? You shut these people up once and for all, please.
Well, it's, you know, everyone's obviously different. But I think a lot of the time what happens with people when they want to start a YouTube channel or something like this, you know, I've heard it from a business guy that we're listening to, Keith Cunningham, and he says a lot of people, you know, like moms and their babies. So they absolutely love their babies. And it's just like an individual and their YouTube channel. They're like, oh, my baby's the best. I know the best way to raise it and everything like that. And they're too afraid, I think, to scrutinize their baby, if you know what I mean, and really look at it in a business sense maybe, or how to make it a full-time thing. And
if someone says, for example, oh, no, your baby's cross-eyed, they go, oh, don't say that.
Exactly. They would never listen. Yeah. They would be like, exactly. So I think it's, for me, what I, you know, and Mike, he's my channel manager, and to get lots of input from his side, you know, he watches me swing. You know, like when someone plays golf, Tiger Woods, he's got people watching him swing. So I have that from him.
That's useful.
Exactly. And that's helped a lot because, and you know, sometimes he'll be like, we're not doing that. It's never going to work. And I think, oh my goodness, it's the best idea ever. How is it not going to work? And then, you know, the more you think about it, the more you look at it, then you're like, okay, it makes sense.
How did it all start for you? I mean, have you always been interested in tech?
Yeah, so I have always been interested in tech. I mean, I remember when I was super, super young, my dad would go to Switzerland and Germany and stuff for business. And then he came back with one of the very first Walkmans, you know, the CD.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, oh my goodness.
Are you even old enough for one of those?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
It's a little scary, but and I just remember thinking, oh my goodness.
Discmans. Do you remember a Discman?
Yeah, exactly. And even tape players. I mean, you like strap them onto your belt and... Anyway, so he would bring back
those terrible headphones as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. There's like little.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, what is.
I'm showing my age.
No. See, I finished school last year.
So you didn't stream Apple Music?
Oh my God.
That's so weird.
But yeah, so I was just so interested from back then. And then, but with YouTube, I started out more in beauty because it was just something I was more comfortable with. And, you know, tech is obviously, it's quite expensive. So I can't just drop like 15,000 rand, buy a new laptop and be like, hey guys, check this out. So I started out in makeup and I enjoyed it, but I always wanted to do the tech side. I just wasn't sure where or how to get into it. So I started talking about my new phone, my Samsung, like 10 reasons why I enjoy it, and then a bit more makeup. And then Instagram, I mean, you know, everyone loves Instagram these days. And when Stories came out, I was like, I have no idea how to use Stories. And there's nowhere online that shows you how to use it. So I'm going to make a video about it. And that just exploded. It went crazy. And then I was like, okay, I can start talking about apps, you know, tech-wise that way. And just the response was incredible. And then I just carried on and started branching
more. Channels like yours. And by the way, if you want to go on and see Hayles World, it's Hayles World. You can go find her on YouTube. I like channels like yours because...
Thank you.
It teaches me how to use the stuff I've got better.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, I was watching this video the other day by these two dudes who said to me... Well, say to me, they put out this video that these are the ways that you can cut down on, like, apps that are running in the background and things that are using power.
Yeah.
So that your battery will last longer. And I've had it off for... I took their advice. There were like 7 steps. And I've actually, my battery lasts all day now.
Yeah.
It wasn't making it through the day before. Now, wow. To me, that's like really helping people in their life. You know, it's a serious thing. You're contributing to society. You're performing a service.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, oftentimes with tech, and also I say this to people, they want the latest phones or the most expensive phones or whatever, but they mm-hmm. end up paying a lot of money for a device, mm-hmm. which, yes, they know it can take nice pictures and maybe it's got a good battery. But any further than that, they often don't know what else it can do.
No, you can do the research for them and they trust you.
Exactly. And then I just say, hey, besides taking great pictures and making phone calls, you can do 20 million other things with your phone. And I think that's why people just enjoy, you know, my videos and content so much, because they go, right. I have no idea I could do that, you know.
So your most viewed videos are 10 Instagram stories, tips, tricks, and hacks, which has 4.3 million views. Now, shucks. Instagram stories, when did that happen and when did you make that video? Because they're like mainstream as hell now. Everybody's doing them, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But that I think I made mid-2018, if I'm not mistaken. And that was the first one, like I say, that just, you know, I launched it. I was like, okay, we'll see how it goes. And then after like a month, I had 1 million views and I couldn't believe it.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And then it's just, again, people,
people from all over the world, huh?
Yeah. And now with my entire channel, it's completely worldwide. There's no specific place that's like my main audience or anything like that.
So how does the money work? If you're getting 1 million views for a certain video, like do YouTube call you up? And they say to you, hey, we're going to pay you for these? Or how does it work exactly?
So basically, I make my videos, right? And then I upload them to YouTube. And then every YouTuber or every video, firstly, you've got to... Okay, let me step back a second. You've got to at least be monetized first. So I think you need something like 400,000 watch minutes in mm-hmm. a year. And you need at least 1,000 subscribers. And then once that's happened, you can now monetize your channel. And then what happens is every time you upload a video, depending on how much people watch... is basically what you get paid on. So for every 1,000 views,
right.
you'll get paid a percentage of money, you know, for those 1,000 views. But then that money that you receive is based on the areas in which these people are watching the video. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in China or America or Canada, the price differs completely.
Where's the best place to have views?
I would say probably around Canada, America, simply because of how their consumers work, because their consumers are very high buyers. They, you know, they would buy a lot more than, say, any other country in the world. So you get paid more for when ads are served to those types of consumers.
Because from a YouTube point of view, the better your content is, the more ads they can serve into it.
Exactly.
The more money they can make, the more they're willing to pay you.
Exactly. And advertisers are willing to pay more for those types of ads in those countries because the people are so much more likely to consume their ad or buy their products, if that makes sense.
Do you get a check every month, every year?
Yeah, no, every month. So again, you've got to reach a certain threshold money-wise in order to be paid out. But then you get a check every month. You can go via a network. So I used to be with a network and then left them. And now it's just on my own. So it just comes through Google Ads every month. And then I get my payment like that. And I earn in dollars, which is quite nice.
That's amazing. Do you have to pay tax?
Yeah, you know, you got to do the whole tax thing and all the rest, but it's just...
That tax
like
thing.
The government really helped you to make your channel.
Yeah, it's just part of the course. But yeah, then they just pay a check every month and it's honestly incredible. And, you know, it can be done. You can make a full-time living on YouTube.
You figured out how to read deleted WhatsApp messages.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. Yes. You see, this is why you got to watch Haley's channel.
Yeah, that one's quite a sneaky one.
How to read deleted WhatsApp messages. Is that when like someone deletes something on the screen quickly and then...
Exactly. So basically it's another app that you download from the Play Store. And what that app does is it also intakes all your notifications. So you've got to look at the private policy, decide whether you're comfortable with it or not. But then every time you receive a WhatsApp, that app also logs it.
Okay.
So then if someone goes onto WhatsApp itself and quickly deletes it, it's still logged in the secondary app, if that makes sense. And then you can go and see like, oh, what did they say?
Oh, wow.
So it is very, and it just makes you think like, oh, I need to think twice about what I send, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like if I break up with my girlfriend and she's rich and then I change my mind, she'll know now.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, so if she has the app installed.
Yeah, that's tricky stuff.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting one as well, that a lot of people are like, wow, this is crazy.
Are Google in South Africa involved at all? Like, do they keep in contact with you or do you mostly just talk to YouTube in the States?
Not really. Oh, yeah. So You know, I chat with them when events come up, or maybe, yeah, like...
And do the tech companies themselves contact you because they can see how well your channel's doing and they say to you, oh, we want to send you a free laptop. Why don't you please advertise it for us? Because basically they know that you have more clout than if they spend 3 million rand advertising the stupid thing. They know that if your subscribers see you saying, oh, this is the best, and they believe you, it'll probably get them more sales. Now, you have to be really careful from a credibility point of view.
Absolutely.
Because if you just take free stuff from people, like a lot of people on the internet do, and you say everything's great, then people go, well, if she's saying everything's great, then nothing's
then
great.
Then what's actually great?
Why
exactly.
am I following her?
Yeah.
So how do you manage that?
So I do get contacted a lot by local, international, like tons of different tech brands. And that is often the case. They'll be like, this is the best computer in the whole world. And we want to send you one. Please do a full review on it. And for I actually just get so many of them, I can't respond to all these people. But I do then have to say, okay, let's have a look at what this computer is. And then I just go, I know it's something my audience is not going to enjoy. And that's, again, you know, like with YouTube, you got to look at the analytics and also at your audience comments and everything like that.
Do you get shit from them for that when you say, I don't think my audience are going to like this? Do they go, oh, well then, screw you, we're not working with you ever again?
On the odd occasion,
really?
I guess I do get them, you know, they will just hound me and be like, come on, just do it, just, you know, make the review, or let us send you one. I'm sure you'll love it. Just try it out. But I do. I have to put my foot down because at the end of the day, I know what my audience wants. Yeah.
Also, there's so many different phones and tablets and
tons.
Computers. You can't be changing every week.
No, exactly. And, you know, a lot of these companies are just overnighters, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
For example, a company, they came out with buds. You know, I've done like a couple of earbuds videos, and they've got these wild looking ones with tigers and lions and looks on them. And I'm like, that's cool, but I've never heard of you guys. Like, I've never seen your products around. So I'm not just going to hop on the bandwagon and be like, hey, everyone, check out these crazy earbuds. Because it's just it's not going to interest my audience. And at the end of the day, that is what I look at it, what my audience wants to see and what I think they're going to like the most. And like you say, that credibility, you know, they can trust me.
Yeah, it's tough also because you've got to watch out for competition, right? There are other people doing like tech reviews and things.
But I mean, we all... You know, what's so interesting about YouTube is we all do it in such a unique way as well. You do get a lot of YouTubers that maybe it seems like all
their
videos
are the same.
No, but I mean,
there might be some girl now who's watching your channel going, I'm going to take her business.
Maybe.
And that's good,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It keeps you on your toes.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's good competition. And exactly that. It keeps you on your toes and thinking, what can I do next? What can I do better?
Yeah. I think it's so cool, like, that it's... Because when we think tech, maybe it's wrong, but it's like I'm usually thinking of some guy living at home in his mom's basement.
Yes.
But it's like you're this cool chick with like energy and stuff.
Oh,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's so cool that you're coming in. So what type of feedback do you get?
That is actually super interesting.
Quite interesting, yeah.
You know, funny enough, one of the most commented things on, and you would think, oh, it's going to be tech and this and that, and it's my accent and my voice.
Yeah?
I get
really
absolutely tons of comments just saying, your voice is so amazing, or that
oh,
is
like
such
it,
a
huh?
unique...
Oh.
Yeah, and I've heard, apparently, that the South African accent is like the number one most liked accent in the world, and I just think that's impossible.
We were just discussing it the other day. We don't get it.
And they do, some people are like, I don't have an iPhone, I don't have anything that you show, but I just come to listen to your voice. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. But like you said, I think it's also maybe the female aspect.
Yeah,
and
it's awesome.
Yeah, and why I enjoy doing what I do so much is because also when I was starting out in tech and watching YouTube videos, you don't get to see a lot of opinions from females, you know? And sometimes that's all I want. It's like, I would like to know about some of these things via a female and see her take on it, you know?
What are you excited about for 2020 in terms of tech? Because I've been kind of bored. I've got to be honest. Like the last few updates on you know, most of the devices that they brought out last year and the year before, it's kind of just more of the same.
Yeah, exactly. They are. And I mean... All of the, you know, cell phone providers and stuff, they just, the devices are starting to look more and more the same. But I think now we're more looking at the features and seeing what they're doing differently there. And I mean, for example, Samsung last year, they announced their 3D scanning feature. And all right, it doesn't work amazingly, I'll be honest. It really, is average, but I appreciate what they're trying to do there. Eventually, you'll be able to scan 3D things, print them, or do a whole bunch of other interesting things. But I'm definitely excited for the foldable phones. You know, like Motorola just brought out the Razr, and that is such a nostalgic phone.
What is that trend? I don't understand where it comes from, and what's the... like?
As in the folding device.
Why?
I think it's just being able to have such an immense piece of tech just go into your pocket is just what's so fascinating about it. So for me, I looked at the LG, it was the G8X, if I'm not mistaken, and that's the, it's a dual screen phone. And what's nice about that is, you know, like if you're in the queue somewhere and you've got your phone, you don't want this massive tablet. Everyone can see what you're viewing kind of thing. Mm. Yeah. But with the LG,
it's like having two phones, really.
Yeah. With the LG, though, it flips around and then you can go back to one device or you can open it up. Then it's a like tablet. But with the Galaxy Fold, it's always like a constant tablet, if you know what I mean. So that for me is... it's cool, but I prefer these smaller kind of folding phones. And like the Motorola Razr... is a flip phone.
I don't need that back in 2020.
It is such a nostalgic thing.
No. Otherwise, we've reached an innovation plateau.
Don't you want to be cool and flip out your phone and be like, hey, guys?
No, so he has like 15, by the way. So he doesn't know that in our time how cool it was.
Okay.
Yeah, we remember when they invented the wheel, then there was the Razr. Yeah, he doesn't realize.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it makes sense now. But yeah, so I think it is a very niche kind of market, the foldable phones. I mean, they are also so expensive. I mean, especially the Galaxy Fold. But again, I appreciate that technology. People are trying these things. They, you know, they're going in these different areas. So I'm excited about that. And then also I think smart home technology is definitely getting bigger. And I just love it. It's like... hey, Google, turn off everything. And then everything gets turned off. I just think it's incredible.
Have you got the whole thing sorted out at home?
No, I'm dabbling. You know, the hardest thing is deciding which to go with. Do you want to go with Alexa? Do you want to go with Google? Do you want to go with Siri? So that's where I'm struggling because, you know, I'd like to try all of them, but they're not all going to work in one place, if that makes sense.
And are you worried about your personal data? Are you worried about all of this information we're giving to these tech companies, especially like Google, who are paying you, that essentially we're handing over our most valuable asset to them? And in the future, that might be the only thing that's worth anything. And we're not going to have ownership of our own information.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And when I think about it briefly, I feel like, oh, you know, I've got nothing to hide. Let them have my info. It's, you know, it's nothing to me kind of thing. But then when you do think about it down the line and they can trace your every move and make your every decision for you, then it's like, oh, okay, that is a bit concerning. But then at the same time, how can we escape it? It's almost inevitable, if you know what I mean, that it's going to happen, I think. So I just feel like, oh, embrace it until... it is a huge issue, I suppose.
Well,
you know,
the danger is just, and I mean, I'm not one of these people who's paranoid either. I'm like, yeah, take whatever you want.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to hide. If someone really nefarious and dangerous and dodgy and with bad intentions got hold of all this information,
yeah,
they could manipulate things in a very bad way for us. I mean, imagine that, you know, he for example, or she decided you were evil and blocked you on this internet, which they would control, from getting healthcare, from being able to use banking, and all of this is entirely possible, right? I mean, we always think in terms of the good in technology, and we do. We were like, there's so much to share. There's so much stuff out there that is going to help us gather information that will make us better, healthier, smarter. We'll use less resources. All of this stuff. But if it was in the hands of someone who had bad intentions, it could easily hurt us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that is a scary thing to think about. But then I suppose we would be living in that constant... you know, the probability of that actually happening to an individual, I think sometimes, again, I'm just like, I'm going to get on with my everyday life. But I'm just like, put two-factor authentication on everything. At least just try and buff up all your passwords and security as much as possible. I mean, I have people often who'll even say in my videos like, oh, I try to hack her Instagram or something.
But those are people who are bored. I mean,
They're also, they could be dangerous. I mean, like, there are a lot of people who will do it just to prove they can.
Yeah, yeah. And but with, again, with my stuff, I just have every authentication under the sun. So if someone tries, I've got to get an SMS, I've got to get an email, I've got to put in a certain code. And I think that's where it goes into your own hands, and that you've got to make sure you've done the most you can with regards to your security, and not just gone like, oh yeah, I just signed up and that's it. You know, because I think people are very sometimes willy-nilly with their security, and then they go, oh my gosh, I was hacked. And it's like, but did you do X, Y, and Z in a way? So I think, yeah, people should maybe just look at buffering their security on their apps and stuff.
Yeah, I know I need to keep quiet because I'm one of those people who has the same password for everything. So heaven forbid you crack that.
You and a million other people.
You're in my Facebook, my Instagram, my online bank.
You name it.
Hayley, in order to get to this number of followers and end up actually being a real commercial concern on YouTube, you have to be fairly consistent too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge one.
How often do you put out videos? Is it a regular once a week thing?
Yeah. Every single week I put out a new video. Generally, I aim for Friday evenings at 8 p.m. But then sometimes time gets away from me and then it goes up on a Saturday or a Sunday. But every single week I have a video up. And that is a huge part of it. I mean, I always say, if you were watching Dexter, for example, they don't just make one episode and they're like, we'll throw out the next one when we're ready, you know?
Yeah.
It's a show. It's a series. I mean, just like you guys. You come on every single day. Yeah. So mine's one a week at the moment. I'd love to put out two videos. But we're getting there. Down the line, it'll happen.
Well, someone's just messaged me to say that they have just subscribed to your channel. Now, who do you subscribe to? Who do you follow?
So I follow a lot of the big tech YouTubers as well. MKBHD, he's a huge tech YouTuber based in New York. Ijustine, I think she's the largest female tech YouTuber in the world.
Mm-hmm.
She's based in LA. And then Mr. Who the Boss, he's located in London.
Mr. Who the Boss.
Yeah, Mr. Who's the Boss, yeah.
Oh, Mr. Who's the Boss. Okay, yeah. I was about to say.
He's based out of the UK. And I basically follow those guys, Unboxing Therapy, Your Average Consumer.
This unboxing thing is incredible.
It's amazing.
I watched someone unboxing something the other day. I had to smack myself in the face afterwards. I was like, I can't believe I watched that, but I loved it.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
What did you love about it?
It was just fun to watch someone else open up something that looked really cool in the packaging, and they go through everything. I mean, you can forward it along if they're busy reading the goddamn card.
Yeah, speed it up.
But it's nice. It's almost you live vicariously through them and you don't have to buy it yourself.
Exactly. And I think that's what people enjoy the most about it. Sometimes when you want to buy something, you're like, yeah, but does it come with this dongle or that cable? And then you watch an unboxing and you're like, okay, it does. Now I know.
Yeah.
Like, let me grab it.
What is the one piece of tech you really want that you don't have?
Ooh, that's a great... Ooh, okay. It's the MacBook, the latest MacBook Pro, I think. No, not MacBook. The iMac Pro.
Oh,
it is
yeah.
The beastie.
Is that the cheese grater?
That's the cheese. I would love the cheese grater. You can slap that in my studio. I'm in heaven. Yeah.
What kind of a studio do you have?
So at the moment we've got three little studios, and then we've got our sets based in each studio. So we've got like the frontals or talking head, where I do intros and outros. And then we've got a B-roll studio where I do, again, it's like talking heads, but it's more... casual within the video. It's not the intro or the outro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, like I say, where we do slider shots or parallax shots and stuff like that. And then I've got the over shoulder and overhead in one studio as well. So when I do overheads, it's in one section, over shoulders in another.
Amazing.
What a production.
And you have all of this at home.
All of it at home.
That's
in
fantastic.
Three rooms. It's amazing. It really, and when I started out, it was one room and I would do the frontals, intros and outros. Then I'd shuffle everything around, do the over shoulder shots, shuffle the whole studio around again, do the overheads. So I must admit, it's so much nicer just going from room to room now, you know.
And how often do you have to like redo your set or buy some new stuff for the studio?
I'm always buying stuff for the studio because... it's nice to have better equipment and it's good to reinvest and put money back into the channel, make sure the quality is even better. So on a monthly basis, I'm always buying, whether it's tech to review, like the latest iPhone or Samsung, I'll buy those phones. And then also, like I got wireless mics the other day, which is a nice addition now.
Right.
And then upgraded cameras at the beginning, mid through last year, I think upgraded cameras. So good with that for a while. And, so I guess it's all the time. It's just I'm constantly...
But you're investing in it like a real business because it is a real business.
Yeah, and I mean if I
didn't... want to keep on growing your audience, you have to have really good quality stuff.
Exactly. And I mean, especially with tech, you got to talk about the latest stuff. You got to talk about what people want to you know, when the new Samsung comes out, people want to know everything there is to know about it before they get it. So then I'm just waiting there for pre-order, grab it, and then start the video.
And you just order like everyone else?
Yeah.
Or do they sometimes get hold of you and say, hey, here's a phone?
So when in the beginning, I would chat to companies and be like, hey, you know, if you ever looking for a review or whatever, I'm more than happy to review your devices. And I must admit, companies have been amazing with being like, yeah, sure, we'll send you the device.
But in the beginning, it was probably awkward because they're like, oh, God,
who is this woman? What does she want from us?
And you felt really stupid because you were like almost going around with a begging bowl.
Exactly. You know? And I'm like, no, I promise, it'll be great. Yeah. But obviously, it worked out nicely. And then from there, they're like, okay, we'll send you the next device. And then now, fortunately, you know, obviously with the amazing audience I have and the views we get, I can just outright afford it. And it's nice because sometimes it does take longer for new tech to get to South Africa. And obviously I want to be one of the first to be chatting about it on YouTube. So it's just easier to buy it straight up sometimes and just talk about it as soon as possible.
And do you just import some stuff as well?
I haven't had to do that yet, but I'm definitely looking at that. And just because of it's not even available in our country, like the Google Pixel devices. Well, you can't get those here, so I would just import that now when the next one comes in, so that I can at least chat about that, which is sometimes frustrating, but it's just one of those things you got to deal with and import and stuff.
All right, so we're looking for a gold button next.
Yes, yes, right. A million subscribers.
We're going to look to maybe add a fourth room to our studio.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Definitely.
What do you do with all the old devices? Do you give them to family and friends to get them, you know, out of your way at Christmas time?
You would think that, and I'm sure a lot of people sometimes are like, why doesn't you just hand them on? But what ends up happening is you go back and you do comparisons.
Right.
So now when we look at the new Galaxy coming out in March, then I might do a video where I compare the last three releases. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
So people are like, oh, you're standing with all these phones. And I'm like, yes, I am. But there's a reason for that. I got to go back and revisit, see what's changed. And I mean, even with Fitbits, I've got so many Fitbit watches, but they've evolved, you know, between all of them so much. So then I go
back.
What
do you got on there? What's that?
On my this is the Apple Watch, the Series 5, the latest one.
Oh, Series 5. Would you recommend it?
Yes, honestly, I've been blown away by it. A lot of the features are still on the Series 4 and the Series 3. But just in general, so whether it's the Series 3, 4, or 5 you want to get, it's honestly an incredible watch. Of course, though, if you've got the iPhone. If not, it's useless.
Laptop, what do you recommend?
MacBook Pro.
Oh, always. Quite an Apple baby. Yes.
I must say, I really am. But I mean, with devices, I've always been a massive fan of Android, Samsung phones.
Sure. And you can have others that you like, even if you work on one in particular, because you just prefer working on one.
Yeah, and I mean, even Nokia phones, I've been so impressed with what they've been doing, especially with their user experience, because they've got they've got their Google platform straight on Nokia devices, so they don't even have any like skins of their own or anything like that. So it's so nice to use Nokia phones, and their cameras are getting better. So I'm an Apple fan when it comes to the computing side of things, but phone wise and device wise, I love to shuffle around and
you're agnostic.
Yeah,
you have to be if you're going to be a real reviewer.
Absolutely, exactly. Yeah.
All right, very good. Do you want to criticize Sia or me or Boletta for any of our choices? Do you want to give us any tips?
Well, I see Max everywhere for now. So I'm like, you guys have got yourself sorted.
All the time.
Everywhere.
All right. Well, this is awesome. I'm very, very pleased to actually sit down and talk to you about this. I think there are a lot of people who want to do what you're doing, but you're already doing it. So congratulations.
Shame, and thank you.
Yeah, well done on all the success so far. I hope it continues to grow.
Awesome.
And keep us on top of all the latest trends and let us know what stuff we should avoid and what stuff we should be buying.
Definitely. And thank you so much for having me. This is amazing.
Great pleasure. Good to see you. All right, everybody. That's all we got time for. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 8 o'clock. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. You know what you can do if you missed anything. Go and download the podcast. It's so easy. Anyone can do it. Even people like me and Bulelo and Sia.
Cliffcentral.com.